Kelly put out a request for things to be thankful for. And sadly, my son's not here this morning because he's starting a new job, which we're very thankful for. Because usually he tells me I speak too long. And he said something to Pastor Val the other day about, you may think it's nice to hear him preach, but I hear him all the time. So, this morning, you have another thing that you can be thankful for. And that's that my message is less than 15 minutes long. So we got to spread it out here this morning until everything's ready downstairs. But, when we were in Grants Pass, had the privilege of our secretary for the church was 90 years old. Name was Ruth. And she drove a little red Volkswagen. And when she was on the road, everybody got off the road. And she was a little short lady. And we had about five or six of the churches of God in Southern Oregon get together every month that there was five Sundays. And we got together for a Sing-spiration. And when it was Grant's Pass's turn for it one time, all the pastors were up on the altar. And she called the session to order. And she said, "Now, pastors, you will stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down." So that's kind of, Ruthie, if you're hearing from heaven today, I'm taking your advice. I want to share a passage with you, Psalms 103, verses 1 through 13. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being." This has been shared. "Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pits and the crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He'd made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor your anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is this love for those who fear us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." The Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth Rock over 300 years ago. They had no idea, and they had no vision about the prosperous times that you and I were going to be facing today compared to their time. The next time that you and I are tempted to complain about inflation or the state of our economy, remember one. During that first long winter at Plymouth Colony, seven times as many graves were dug for the dead than homes were built for the living. Secondly, the ship expected to bring food and relief instead brought 35 more mouths to feed and not 1 ounce of provisions. Many find the picture of William Brewster rising from a scanty Plymouth dinner consisting of a plate of clams and a glass of cold water to thank God for the abundance of the sea and the treasures hid in the sand. Very touching. The pilgrims did not have much, but they did possess a great thankfulness. It was this gratitude and this thankfulness that America was built upon. These determined people, strong, devout, and sincere, were the foundational timbers upon which our nation has been built. They had a custom of putting five kernels of corn upon each empty plate before a dinner of Thanksgiving was served. And each member of the family would pick up the one kernel of corn and tell what they were thankful for. And that was to remind them that the first pilgrims were in such a horrible condition that their allowance of only five kernels of corn per person per day we have many reasons today to be thankful. In the psalm that you heard twice today, David calls upon his body, mind, soul, and spirit to join us in one wonderful symphony of praise for the benefits that God has so graciously bestowed upon him. And I ask you this morning, can you see those five blessings? Let's count each blessing as a kernel of corn. The first kernel is the kernel of forgiveness. Verse 3a says, who forgave all your sins. One day, a man was visiting his pastor in the parsonage. And he picked up a book that was on the stand and he began to read it. And he suddenly shouted, praise the name of the Lord. The pastor looked at him and said, what is the matter with you? The visitor replied, this book says that in certain places the sea is 5 miles deep. Yes, that's right, the pastor said. What of it? The visitor answered, the Bible says that my sins are cast into the depth of the sea. And if at that depth, I am not afraid of their surfacing again. The pressure of the water is so great that if the largest battleship could be sunk to that depth, it would be crushed like an eggshell. There's no mistaking it. God offers forgiveness. All any person has to do is to repent and forsake his sin. And God is faithful to forgive him or her and take away the penalty of sin. And so this forgiveness then is a promise of the Father, a provision of the Psalm, a proclamation in the Bible, and a required practice in the church. From the depths of our hearts, a sense of gratitude should be felt. Thankfulness should go up like incense to the throne of God. And the second kernel of corn is the kernel of redemption. Verse 4 says, who redeemed your life from the pit? The London Times publishes the prices paid for art objects in all of the sales rooms around the world. If a painting is sold in New York or Paris or Rome or London, the Times gives the full details of the sale. And you can judge the value of the painting by the price paid for it. We can judge our value by the price that Jesus Christ paid for us, the depth in which he had to reach in order to redeem us. Governor Neff of Texas spoke to an assembly of convicts in the prison. And he finished by saying that he would remain to listen to any man who wanted to speak with him. And when the meeting was over, a large group of men remained, and each of them serving life sentences. And one by one, they each told the governor that he was there through a frame-up and injustice or a judicial blunder. Each asked to be freed. Finally, one man walked up to him and he said, Governor, I just want to say that I am guilty. I did what they sent me here for, but I believe I have paid for it. And if I were freed, I would do everything I could to be a good citizen and to prove myself worthy of your mercy. The governor pardoned that man. Why? Because he admitted his guilt. And it's the same for us if we are to be redeemed from the awful sentence that we are under. But there's a difference. We cannot say that we have paid for any of it because, as the old hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The Lord not only saves our souls from hell, but he also redeems our lives from the control of the devil. Satan is bent on destroying our lives. And the more you walk a closer walk with the Lord, the more he's going to be there to try to derail you. But thanks be to God who redeems our lives from his power. All we have to do is to take a look at penitentiaries, hospitals, and halfway houses. They are filled with people whose lives are being destroyed. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. We praise God today with the psalmist who said, He lifted me out of that slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And the third kernel is the kernel of healing. Verse 3b says, who heals all your diseases. When I first considered this passage, I was reluctant to use it because I could not reconcile it with the fact that God does not heal everyone who has an incurable disease. However, I believe the Holy Spirit can help us to see three different truths contained in this verse. First, all healing is divine healing. All recovery from sickness, injury, and surgery is the result of the healing properties that God has built into our bodies. Medicine, surgery, and therapy are merely extensions of God's healing ministry. And second, this verse does not say that God heals everyone's disease. It does say He heals all diseases. There is no disease or no sickness that lies beyond His healing power, not even what we call incurable, because God is the great physician. And the main truth I learned is that the psalmist is speaking to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he said, who heals all your diseases. The disease of the soul comes from a virus of sin. Jesus identified that virus and its symptoms and disorders in Matthew 15, 19, 20. For out of the heart comes evil, thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. And just as surely as some disorders of the body can be cured by medicines and surgery, so the soul of man can be cleansed, purged, and purified, and made whole when God, through the Holy Spirit, is allowed to possess him completely. And the fourth kernel is the kernel of love and compassion. Verse 4 tells us, crowns you with love and compassion. In one of Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman's services, a man stood up to give the following remarkable testimony. He said, I got off at the Pennsylvania Depot one day as homeless. For a year, I had begged on the streets for a living. One day, I touched a man on the shoulder and said, Mister, please, give me some money so I can have something to eat. And as soon as I saw him, I recognized the face of my father. Father, don't you know me? I asked. Throwing his arms around me, he cried, I found you, I found you. All I have is yours. Think of it, that I was homeless, stood begging my father for a few cents, when for 18 years he had been looking for me to give me all that he was worth. This man was experiencing the real story of the prodigal son. He was experiencing the loving kindness and the tender mercies of the Lord who accompanies our lives each day. And the fifth kernel is the kernel of satisfaction and renewal. Verse 5 says, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And this reminded me of the words of Jesus. The words that we read in his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. There's a great paradox here. We are satisfied, but never satisfied. Now, Teresa makes the best pot roast in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And my figure probably shows it. I'm always satisfied when I eat some. But I always want more because what I've experienced makes me want to taste it again and again. And it's the same with God's righteousness. We are filled, and the filling is so sweet and so rich and so filling that we want more and more of it. When we seek God's righteousness, He grants it. Psalms 107:9 says, "He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." A famous surgeon was seldom seen on the streets without a beautiful, fresh rose in his lapel. His friends wondered why the bud stayed fresh for so long. When they asked him his secret, he turned the flap of his coat over and revealed a small bottle of water into which he put the stem of that flower each day. And it's the same with Christians. If our lives draw from the great resources of the Lord Jesus, who is our water of life, we will grow more fragrant and more beautiful as the days and the years go by. But I have news for you. That is not the end. Verse 5 also says that God will renew our youth like the eagles. The eagle is known for three things: size, strength, and longevity. It's also known for its annual molting. And this is the result of living a fulfilled, satisfied spiritual life. I am constantly being renewed, refreshed, and revived in my soul. And God is the one who's doing it all. No wonder then that the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And as you sit down to our Thanksgiving meal today, as you sit down to your Thanksgiving meal on Thursday, take time to thank God for these blessings, for those five kernels we visited today.